Welcome to Community Voices with Carly Lissa Thorne and my other partner who is not here today, Fred McMurray. Think locally and connect globally, and I'm excited today because today on Community Voices I have the honor of interviewing Patty Emery. And one of the things I love about her is she is full of spunk. So we're going to be talking about positivity, overcoming adversities, and her book, which I love the title, It Takes a Sense of Humor. So welcome, Patty.
Thank you very much for having me.
So the first thing I'd love for you to share with the audience is, what was your inspiration behind the title of the book? And then I'd like you to go into the inspiration behind writing the book. I love the title, and so I'd love to know what your inspiration behind that title is.
Well, choosing a title for a book was quite an emotional roller coaster, actually. But it was my husband that kept telling me you need to do that, because so many times through my life, or even when I was having problems with surgeries or just problems of even overcoming some of the obstacles, you always, or I would always say, oh God, you have to have a sense of humor. And some of the situations that I was in are no different than somebody else who maybe stubbed their toe, and or they had a bad day, everything went wrong, and after a while you just throw up your hands and say, you just have to laugh. You just have to have a sense of humor. And you hear people saying that a lot, so I thought it might be a catchy phrase, and it's turned out that people also, when I tell them the title of my book, they'll say, well, why do you call it that? Or I'm curious, why are you bringing up that you need to have a sense of humor? And that's what is the intro into my health issues and my wonderful life.
So you and I have very similar, obviously not identical, and obviously our own journeys. However, we both had a very, how can we say it, challenging medical history. And
yes,
of course that has made us, in my opinion, be very strong women. And
yes,
also, one of the reasons I really love you and I, connected with you is because, like you, like me, we're both very positive and very spunky, and we have a sense of humor, which we, not that we have not had our dark times, not that we have not been depressed, not that we haven't had the moments of going, why me? However, we always change our mindset and do things to bring around the positivity. So since people don't know about your background and some of your challenges, why don't we, go into a little bit as to now, beyond the title, as to why you did write the book.
Well, when I was down visiting my older brother, who is a doctor in Colorado, I have a big need for privacy in the bathroom every night for 2 hours to do my medical treatments. And when I was there, we would talk about, well, why do you need this particular situation? And Patty, you've been telling us so many funny stories about how you had to deal with this because you would have to be in different situations through your life, like you're out in the forest or you're at somebody's home and they only have one bathroom and there's 20 people. So he kept saying, you need to write this down. You need to write this down. He said, I have patients that would love to hear these stories. They're so inspirational. And then his wife, who happens to be a nurse, would tell me the same thing. And sometimes I tell stories that have nothing to do with my health issues, but of course there are stories about other obstacles and challenges in life. So that is probably why I wrote the book. And then the other thing is, I wanted to make certain that any other people that have physical disabilities that are stigmas can feel like they can read about it in the privacy of their own home or in a private conversation between the reader and myself. Sometimes I found over my life it was really difficult to tell people even about my book. So when I wrote the book, it was mostly inspired by my family and everybody saying, you need to start opening up about this. And at the same time, I kept saying, no, I don't want to, it's too private, because that's what I was trained to do, both with my family and myself over my life, so that I wouldn't have to go there every day.
So that's something that I think we need to address, is how do we overcome the stigma? And actually, I was just talking to a client earlier today, and I was explaining to him, when we sweep things under the carpet, first of all, we're not doing anyone any service because it creates lack of trust, and eventually things come out anyway. And so what I was encouraging them to do is, they were having some issues with some online reputation, and I'm like, address the fact on your site that you're having these issues, and these are the steps you've taken to correct those issues, right?
Yes.
So in our certain circumstances, we've both been through challenging things. So what did you do for yourself to step out of the box and take it out from under the carpet and literally start sharing with others in the world, in a way, right, by writing this book and sharing with the world, What fears did you have to overcome, and how did you do that?
Well, there was the social stigmas. And so, you know, starting to date, you know, you start to get intimate with someone, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, I'm going to have to tell this person sometime that I don't have a vagina. And then I had social issues where people would start to not invite me to certain things that were over a weekend. I had social stigmas from my coaches, and that's in the book about how I was had to quit skiing, and I was slated as one of the top skiers in Canada in racing, and I had to basically say, I have to be really, really picky at who I'm going to start to tell, because it seems now I'm going to have to start telling people. And it mostly came around the time when I was in high school and I was doing the racing. And also, it was significant for me once I left home and had the security of my parents and my own private bedroom and bathroom to now go off to college. And I realized, oh my gosh, I am so prepared for this because of the way my parents raised me, with putting me in situations where I had to figure it out. And I wasn't even aware I was going through that training, if you will, to get myself out of the box. So the other the things that I did discover is sometimes when I would tell people, like in the dormitory, I had to tell the den mother that I needed my own bathroom, and she just laughed and accused me of being a spoiled little rich kid and all sorts of things about, oh, you guys coming down from Canada, you just want all these things. And I went, no. And so I went back to my dorm room, and I sat there, and I was really upset. And then my new roommate walked in, who happened to be luckily from Vancouver, who I knew. And I sat her down. I said, look, I'm going to really need some help. There's no locks on the bathroom. It's just shower curtains between the toilets. And I need my own private bathroom. And then I had to tell her all of the reasons. And her response was total support. And then she said, Patty, we can tell some of the other girls in the dorm. I went, no, you can't. So I started to realize I could trust people. And so that's what happened, is I just started being really picky. And also it came from, I really need to tell somebody now. So in other words, if I went over to your house for the weekend and you didn't know I had these things, and it was just overnight, I might be able to manage and I would never tell you. But if I was going to go away on a ski trip, or if I was going to go off to university like I did, or off to Europe with friends to travel, you bet your bottom dollar, so to speak, I had to start opening my mouth and asking for help, just for support and letting them know there's certain things that I couldn't do. So that's what happened. I started looking around and getting out.
So the good things about that is, I think there's two things that at least I've discovered in myself. When I was younger, I was really angry and bitter, and I had the lone mentality, like, I have to do everything myself. I can't, you know, all that mentality, right? And I think as we've matured or grown out and let go and processed, forgive, and all these other things, and realizing that and reaching out for help, the collaboration, the teamwork, then we actually have a richer life, we have a more expanded life, and a lot of the disabilities or the disadvantages, right, fall away because you actually have that support. Did you find that as well?
Yes, and you know, I was talking to a client myself the other day who has serious handicaps, and he was telling us about his private life and how his wife and he sleep in separate bedrooms, and he went on and on and on, and the conversation started to sound very selfish on his part. So I called him on it, and I said, look, you know, even our family, who loves us dearly, would get tired of hearing our day-to-day whining. And after all, if you keep whining and you keep getting into that circular sort of behavior with yourself and your family and your close friends and your any other loved ones or your coworkers, after a while they're going to go, gosh, you know, I know you're not feeling well, but does it make you feel any better to keep talking about it? So I told this guy, look, you know what, it's really, really selfish to suffer out loud in a way. And so I was taught that you don't talk about my issues because you were talking about poop, blood, and urine. So it was a little easier for me because it was all hidden. But after a while, like you said, you have to bring it out sometime, and it will come out in other ways. And then it looks, in effect, what happened was when it was coming out in other ways, people were looking at me like I was lazy or that I was just a quitter, and I was going, no, that's not like me at all. If anything, I'm a hell of a fighter. I've been fighting all my life to be able to live a normal life. And then, of course, there were times when my handicap was definitely a huge block. I just couldn't. I couldn't get through it. I couldn't go around it. I couldn't jump over it. I couldn't smash it down. I had to learn to live with it, and that meant opening my mouth again and letting others in to say, "Okay, can you help me in this particular situation to live with this for this moment?" And if it meant for in another day or in when I'm traveling to such and such, can you help me set this up so I can do my job, say, as a high school teacher where I took a team away, and still participate, because I always wanted to be normal everywhere else, and I wanted to teach my body that even though a third of my body does not work and it's a big pain in the butt, so to excuse the term, the other parts of my body can still function, and I can still get some amazing life out of this. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, so I had some aha moments where once I started opening up and coming up with plans to include other people's to help me, you're right, my life started to flourish, and I was just going, wow, this is even better than I thought it was going to be. Even though my life was pretty dang good, I was finding that, okay, maybe I will run a marathon. Oh, no, no, the doctor says you can't do that. I said, well, no, I'll come up with a plan. And I didn't tell him. Part of the plan was do not let your doctors in, and they were all mad at me. But I said, yeah, but you didn't know this. I've run 3 marathons. You did what? So, yeah, you just got to live outside the box and go for it and just decide.
So a couple things that I think are really important that you brought up in there is that you're willing to step out of your comfort zone, willing to step out of the box and do things that people were telling you couldn't do, and you had to find that out in doing them, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's all of life. All of life is that kind of being pushed, if you will, outside of your comfort zone so we can expand and learn and grow. And in that process, you find out that, oh, my God, I really can do this. And yeah. not buying into the story of the disability. I think part of society's problem is we label. Everything's a label. And we label whatever I don't care if it's autism, ADHD, whatever, you know, someone who is in a chair, you know, who needs crutches, whatever the disability is, that we label. And then people buy into that label. Well, I got ADHD, therefore I can't do this. Or, you know, whatever. You know, so we buy into the story. So I think that is been really harm to a lot of people, is literally taking the label, slapping it on your forehead and going, I am this. Instead, yes. Realizing you're not just that. Your adversities, your challenge are part of your journey. It doesn't make you who you are. It's just a part of who you are. It's not who you are. And I think that's really a huge piece that people need to remember. And the other thing is, that is not weak to ask for help. Actually, it's strength. It's being strong when we ask for help. I think those are huge components. And again, people aren't mind readers. If I didn't know what, like you said, if you were going away for skiing and people, like you said, thought you were lazy or, you know, all these labels we get slapped with because they think we can't do things or we're not doing things, it's like, whoa, excuse me. First of all, you don't know me and you don't know what I have to do or what the situation is. But, of course, they aren't mind readers either. So unless we do share and explain what the issue is and from a positive place, again, nobody likes to be hearing someone bitch and complain and be negative all the time. And I know, I'm sure you've heard this many, many times. The people, places, and things, even environment that we surround ourselves with, we become akin to that. So if it's a positive environment, we're going to be more bubbly, more positive. And if we're in an environment where even other people around us, not just us, other people that are being negative and da 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 da, we kind of get down and negative, right? So it's all of that. Haven't you found that?
Yes, and you know, it's funny. One of my new little speeches that I've started is how you start your day. And so, in other words, when I go into, say, a coffee shop and they say, how are you? I say, I'm fantastic. How about you? You know what? I got out of bed today. And by the way, congratulations, so did you. What a wonderful thing. It's so simple, and yet we take it for granted. And you know what? And you know, and I know, if you've been in the hospital or you've got something where all of a sudden, you, even if you break a leg or you sprain an ankle, and all of a sudden you're not able to get from A to B without a crutches. So crutches can be all sorts of things, right? It can be another person. But I find that when I get out of bed and I go into the bathroom and I look in the mirror, and sometimes I pretend I'm talking to my twin, and I say, okay, what are you going to do today? I always have 3 steps in the plan, and they're always something that are going to be positive and simple, something I know that I can do. it's not, you know, obviously there are the obstacles that you have to overcome and the big challenges that you might set for yourselves. But at the same time, if you have simple things that are kind of fun and silly, then you set the tone. And the other thing is the tone of voice. I mean, Carly, that's the one thing that I love about you. You can fake it till you become it. We've all heard that. It's getting ground into the ground, I know. But how true is that? I mean, I notice that when I walk in and I talk to total strangers, they perk up because I give them a positive twinkle in the eye. I usually compliment them. And yes, I want to walk away with going, I hope they had a better day just because they met Patty Emery. Or even they didn't meet me. They just had like a two-second thing. Here's my visa, blah, blah, blah. You know, that sort of thing. So I think Outlook can carry you through so much. I know that when I'm in having my, doing my thing, as I call it, and sometimes it doesn't go well. In fact, most of the time it doesn't go well. I always have this conversation. I mean, do you have those conversations where you say, come on, Patty, smarten up. You've done this before. You know it's uncomfortable, but you have no frickin' choice, so just do it and then move on. That's how I look at it. Sorry.
No, that's great that you said that, because I tell people this all the time. It's like you have to be willing to – sometimes it is what it is. It just is what it is. And then there's certain things that you have to do. It's like, why are you, you know, moaning, complaining and about it? It's like, just do what you need to do. Get through it. Let go. Move on. I'm the type of person, when I finally commit to something or I've made my mind up or I've decided I'm going to do something, it's like, do it. And if I'm done with something, I can easily delete it and I don't look back. And I think, I just had my 30th surgery December 16th. And my doctors always laugh because, you know, obviously when you're going through surgeries, you aren't in the shape that you normally are in. And when I went through my last bout of surgeries, you know, I'd gained some weight because I wasn't able to be, I'm normally very athletic, you know, toned, ripped, and all these type of things because I'm always working out. But as you know, every time you go through surgery, it's like you got pre time where, you know, things are falling apart so you can't because your body just won't function. Then you have the post time where you go through recovery and rehab. And so I noticed some of the other doctors looking at me like you said, oh, she's just lazy. And I'm like, hey, here's a picture of me like 8 weeks after my other one. I still have a six pack. And that was when they cut me from hip to hip, right? It's a cesarean cut. So no, I'm not lazy. However, it's that mentality. They never saw me, you know, bitch, complain. It was just, you know, I even did an interview from the hospital. Everyone loves this story because I literally just had my knee replaced. I was literally in the hospital. I was fighting with the hospital staff to get a wheelchair because I had committed to an interview. Somebody wanted to interview me, and I made the appointment 6 months in advance. And you know how surgeries are. You don't know the date they're going to book it. You find out when your surgery date's going to come up. So they finally told me my surgery date. It was the exact day, like not the day of my surgery, but you know, a few days after, and I was still going to be in the hospital. I wouldn't be released yet. So I fought with them for a wheelchair, wheeled myself out to the courtyard, and I committed to that interview. Was I still on morphine? Yes. Was I still in pain? Yes. What did I do? Put that side, that mental space on the other side of my brain and committed to that interview. High energy, passion, positivity. Didn't matter that my whole knee had just been replaced. Didn't matter that I was on morphine. Didn't matter that I was in pain, right? But that's a mental choice.
Well, I think you are, is everything on okay?
Yeah.
Can you hear me all right? Yeah. I think that it's whenever you have to overcome or do something that's uncomfortable physically. One of the things I told a client the other day was, you know, when someone says they're going to throw you into the lake and the lake is freezing cold, and you get in this zone where you know you've been thrown in the lake before, you know what it feels like, you know how long it's going to take, you know how you're going to go under the water, and you know you're going to come up and go, holy crap, that was cold, and then you're going to climb right out of the lake, or you have to swim to the shore and it's going to take you a little longer. Well, that's the way I look at my things. I'll go, okay, I know I have to go do this. It's going to be uncomfortable. I don't want to do it, but I have no choice because someone is throwing me in the lake. And so you go through that process, and then you come out, and you say, you act like it was fun because you don't want them to do it again. And so you have this, you continue on with this positive attitude. You come out with a positive attitude because I know that when I come out of the bathroom at night and I don't feel well, my husband is the best. He'll say, how you doing? I'm fine, thanks. I'm great. You know, and a lot of times I'm lying, and he knows it, but it makes him feel better. And here's the other thing. When I was talking about being, it's so selfish to complain, you know, when you have a spouse or you have a family member or a coworker that says, keeps asking you how you're doing, obviously that's because they care about you. And if it bothers you, then you have to tell them, okay, don't ask me so much, but at the same time, you have to let them ask you because they're also suffering because they love you and they don't want to see you in discomfort. So to keep complaining or to not let them ask is very selfish, and also I think it doesn't help you in the long run. However, obviously, there are people out there who are in grave pain all the time. The medications don't work, and they're scared. And so fear makes you chatter, and it makes you go to the negative place, and it takes practice to switch that around. And if you've come into something later in life, it's much more difficult. I have a mom who's got Alzheimer's, or not Alzheimer's, she's got dementia now a little bit, and she's very, very negative. And I'll go in there and I'll grab her little face. I'll say, Mom, positive, 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 positive. You're absolutely right, Patricia. And so it does make her feel better, and it makes her know that for me, I need to hear her be positive, because then my father feels better, and then in the long run, she does feel better. She gets out of bed, and she's got a better attitude. And I know that there are people out there that might be thinking, oh, Patty, what are you talking about? Well, here's the thing. I was very, very lucky to be born with this stuff. And I self-taught at a very young age. So some of these things are ingrained with me. So even though I talk about them, I know that for the newcomer, shall we say, or the new first timer having surgery, or the first person the first time someone is suffering, that this takes time, and they don't realize probably that they're whining and complaining because they have a right to do that as well. So it's learning to know how long do you keep this up and how much will it help you to try to switch it around.
So one of the things I think is key in that statement is the fact that you said the knowing of when, it's kind of like knowing when to let something go. Like I said, sometimes things are, it is what it is, right? So if we can accept that something might be, it is as it is, and then we just go, okay, I'm committed to going through this, start looking towards the other side of it, realizing that the more you're beating yourself up, the more down you are, it's actually make it so much harder to get through the other side. The other thing I do want to bring up, because I know you and I hear this all the time, there's no way you can be this positive all the time. Oh, that's just fake. Come on. Look, are you and I human? Hell yes. Have we ever said to ourselves, oh my God, like, you know, going to the bathroom the next night, oh, you know, do we ever feel sorry for ourselves? Do we ever have a momentary, you know, just anger or resentment or the why me or tired or in pain? Of course we do. We're all human. The only difference between our attitudes and maybe other people's attitudes is the fact that we've chosen to literally kick ourselves in the butt and go, well, wait a minute, get out of that space and move into this space because you know you're going to feel better. And study after study after study shows, if you're walking down the street and you smile at somebody, what happens? They smile. It's like a yawn. Another person yawns. Our energy, how we are, affects everyone. That ripple effect is really huge. Energetically, whether people believe in energy, think it's woo, I don't care what they think or what they believe, the matter of the fact is we affect each other. Energetically, physically, emotionally, no different than women being in a home or if you go to college and everyone's, you know, female menstrual cycles happen at the same time because you literally sink to that. So people need to start realizing that your mood as is equally infectious. So that is so empowering to know because when we can shift our mindset and realize that even if we feel like garbage, if we start feeling more positive, the people around us are going to be more positive, which then in effect actually helps us to feel more positive. So actually, it's a win-win.
The other day when I was talking to a brand new client, he was sitting there and he was shifting. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to shift because of this chair, but anyway, he was shifting and shifting and shifting. And I said to him, you're in a lot of pain right now. Hang in there. And he said, how can you tell I was in pain? I said, I'm in pain. I recognize the pain. And I said, your pain is real, but you're moving forward, and congratulations. And it was right in the middle of a conversation about other things, but I wanted him to know that I'm rooting for him to keep hanging in there. And I know that right now I'm sitting here and my whole torso is in huge pain and bloated and everything, and you're probably in pain too. I'm just hoping that everyone that's listening to this knows that we all know that there's people. I mean, all you have to do is go to church, let's say, or I don't care where you go, and you look around at every person that's sitting there, and I'll bet you 3/4 of the people sitting there are in pain for some reason, or their life is really not going as well as they'd like, because we're people, we're human beings, and we're affected by these things. And I think the fact that when you talked about getting down, well, right, absolutely I get down, but not as often as I used to. I think I've learned, I've once again taught myself. I remember one day, if I could tell this quick story, I'm on a tennis team, and I'm the captain of the team, and a co-captain, and we were having our training session, and I showed up, and I knew I shouldn't have gone to the practice. I just, and nothing physically was feeling good for me. And I went in there, and then we had these little mini games that were stacked with challenges that were supposed to be things we were working on. Lead-up skills, I'll call them. And halfway through this one little game, I realized I was not doing anything right, and I was hurting. You know, my partner was looking at me going, "What's the matter with you?" Because she doesn't know all my stuff. And I'm going, "You know what? I'm sorry, I'll just keep working at it." And I couldn't do anything right. I was just so uncomfortable and so much pain. And I finally went, "I just can't go there anymore. I just can't do this now. I need to pout. I need to go be with Patty and bitch all by myself." So I just picked up my tennis racket and I walked off the court, got in my car, and drove away. And my best friend's following me and she's going, "What's going on?" Anyway, long story short, I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to have, I was just needing to be alone with Patty to give me a little kick in the butt, as you said earlier, and say, "Smarten up," but I wasn't able to at that time. I needed to be a bitch. I needed to be upset. I needed to hit rock bottom. And so I did. I just started sliding and sliding and sliding. Now, the interesting thing is, for me, I'm very lucky. I had, because I left it with quite a bit of drama, which isn't like me, I left there. Usually I would have come up with an excuse and said, "Look, you guys, I'm not feeling well. I have a headache." Instead, I just walked off. But here's what happened. My girlfriend shows up, and she's whistling at me across the street because I didn't go to the house right away because I knew they'd go to my house. So I started to hide, walking around in the woods and everything so I could be alone. And there's nothing wrong with being alone, having that self-talk to pick yourself up, or to just to say, you've got this deal that's never going to go away. You always have to deal with it. And yes, I'm upset today. I'm upset. But the thing that's really cool about me, if I can only talk about me, is I knew that I would pull out of it because I have before. And for the listener to know that if you start to slide down this bad slip, know that you will probably still be able to pick yourself up. And it's how you pick yourself up, and not necessarily always when, it's just how you pick yourself up and then continue on and then bank that and know, okay, I went to rock bottom. And say a month from now, you start to feel like that again. You go, "Been there, done that. I don't need to go to rock bottom. I just need to go into the bathroom and have a little talk to myself and then come out," or whatever your tools may be. So there's nothing wrong with hitting rock bottom as long as you can take the positive out of that and say, "Okay, I went to rock bottom. My friends all came over afterwards and kept insisting we eat chocolate-dipped strawberries because it was a good 2 hours after they came back, but I was still so angry that I had to be these handicaps. I was just so angry. But they started to make me laugh, and then I realized, well, I've been here before. Okay, I didn't die from it. So smarten up, Patty, and just use it next time."
I think the part of that we're human is so important to hear over and over and over again. We're all human. We all are going to have our moments. And so it's all about communication. If you need space, you tell the people around you, "Look, yes, I just need a little me time. I need a little time to feel what I'm feeling, to process it, and then let it go. It's nothing that you did, it's something that I need to deal with." Because they also need to hear it's not something they did. Because when we just walk away or do our, you know, go into that little piece of victimhood in that moment, right? They start to feel bad too. So it's communication, being really open. And I think the biggest thing in all this is communication, 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 and openness. Because they need to share. And here's the thing how I've dealt with it, and the oversharing, where it drives me crazy, because then I don't want I hate hearing over and over, oh, I'm so sorry for you. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. So when I go through my procedures, I know I'm going to be off Facebook for whatever, I write on there, please only put on this thread, you know, blessings. Go for it. You know, like whatever type of thing. Because that's what I need to hear. If I do, for me, it's really hard to hear all the time, oh, I'm so sorry. Because that's that victim energy. It's like, I am not a victim. I'm a victor. I choose to be victorious. So the energy I want to feel for my friends and the people when they need to express that they care is blessings. I'm praying for you. You know, go for it. You can do it. Never, ever give up. I want to hear that. I don't want to hear, oh, I'm so sorry for you. Just that energy alone, oh, I'm so sorry for you, is a downer. So I think it's really about educating the people around you, educating your friends, communication, communication, communication. So you're like, yeah, I know you need to tell me that you need to empath. You need to let me know that you care. And I get that, and I'm totally open to receiving that. However, if you could do that, can you please do it in this form? Because that I'm going to love. When I'm hearing all the other stuff, I'm not loving it. So, you know, and that's just me. Maybe other people need to hear that, oh, I'm so sorry. They need to feel validated from that place. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, for me, this is what I needed. So it's communicating to people in your circle around you what your needs are. So then everybody's happy. They get to communicate that they're worried about you and they care about you and how are you doing. And it's coming back to me in a way that's going to lift me up, not bring me down.
I think the thing that was really interesting about that particular day was I had always been the cheerful up person around them, and they saw, oh, Patty really has got illnesses. She does have something that's worrisome. And that particular day I was just being human, and you know, when I walked away, yes, I felt very selfish at the time because I was going, I just need to go be with Patty. And I said that. And so you're right, they may have thought that I was angry with them, but when they came over later, they all knew I wasn't angry at them because my best friend, there's two or three of them obviously know about my health issues, and they were really, really good. And they didn't do what my mother has I've asked her many times not to do it. She's such a sweetheart. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry you have to go through this all day. I said, Mom, don't tell me that. You know, whatever, you know, okay, maybe 20, 30, 50, 60 years ago, but no, I don't want sympathy. I just want to be able to get it done, period. I just want to get out and have that done so then I can feel better and go and live life. I just want to live life. And I think my friends, when they came over that day and we had this communication, it really opened up a lot of communication about some of the things that they may have been going through that the rest of us didn't know. It was a huge conversation piece. And in fact, I did put that day in my book. It's called Rock Bottom. And so it is one of the chapters where I talked about how lucky I was that I had friends. And now I was also very fortunate that I taught in all-girls schools as a teacher. So I was surrounded by more females than males. And when it came to things like my infertility, I was able to choose once again who I spoke to. But there was always someone out there that had, okay, I have infertility in this way, or I have, you know, I know somebody that's got IBS or all sorts of things. So you're right. Communicate. And it's interesting to see how we communicate. For example, when I left that day, I was communicating in a weird way, but it was still a form of communication. And they all read it loud and clear. Like they all just, they stopped the practice because it was just a practice that I was supposedly running. And they all came to my rescue, really. But they gave me space. That was the other thing. They did give me space. And I think that is a huge key that a lot of us don't do.
Asking, so when someone is requesting something that's going to make you feel bad, from our point of view, you're going, huh, what? Like you said, how long? Is being open to have the conversation go and respect it. Respect the fact that someone does need their space to process, to vent, or whatever they need to do. And also making sure they, from their end, it's also how they communicate. So I think a lot of communication is teaching each other how we both need to communicate so that we can be more open to what the other person's needs are and what our needs are. And then having a conversation about, okay, you need your space. I'm going to honor that and respect that. You may ask for something in return. When you're done needing your space, can you please let me know so that I know that I can be back the way I need to be with you? I mean, I really think bottom line about any of this is literally about having the skills to be open-hearted, compassionate, empathic, without the victim energy and, oh, I'm so sorry energy, and really keep the point there that life is a journey. We all have difficulties. There's always someone somewhere that has it worse than we do in that moment, right? And that we really work towards the journey of positivity so that we can have better outcomes. To me, it's literally the journey of better outcomes, because every time we go through something, A, we're learning, and then we have the choice to process that and do something with what we learned, or stay where we are and be in victimhood. Like, oh, you know, I don't want to learn. I don't want to go. Moving, changing is scary. Transformations for a lot of people is a very scary thing. It's much easier to stay in the status quo. It's much easier to stay in the box. It's much easier not to take that next step. And it all boils down to every single day we wake up, the choices that we choose.
One of the things that I have discovered, I mean, I'm 64, and I've totally revamping my life, just because it's fun. And the amount of learning, for example, writing the book, wow, was that a huge learning curve? And learning more about Twitter and all these sort of things. And then the other thing is, I no longer am able to play tennis and golf as much because of joints and everything. So luckily, I had a plan, and that is my art business, Patty's Artistic Touch, where I'm painting more now. And I even told my husband, you know, I'm not so sure I want to give the piano to our kids. I think I might bring it with us because I might take up piano again. And so the learning part has become my new sport. It's become my new mantra. I'm going, okay, what can I learn today? And I joined a book club. And I think others, whenever we are stagnant, we get bored with ourselves. And there's nothing worse than being bored with yourself. I mean, you've got to have, in other words, if you were to have a conversation with yourself over, say, a week's time, and just talk, and all you could talk about was the same thing over and over again because you're not learning, you would think you'd say, okay, after one day I'm turning off the TV or I'm turning off or whatever, and you wouldn't bother listening anymore. So I think it's really, really important to self-teach and have self-awareness of all the other talents. And that's another thing where one of the things that I've used over the years, and I know I've told you about this before, and it's also in my book, It Takes a Sense of Humor, is my piggybacks. So over the years, I have learned that, yes, even though I was an athlete, and everybody thought of me as an athlete, I was also over on the side singing, or I was playing the guitar, or playing the piano, or picking up a paintbrush, or sketching. Those were my other things I did. Unfortunately, I wasn't a huge avid reader, but I realized that I was creating another platform for Patty Emery, that it's not just about being a physical education teacher or even just about being a mom. I wanted to be more interesting to myself, and then I was using those things when I wasn't feeling well. For example, I now watch friends of ours who are retiring, and they're all talking about going, okay, go back to work, because first of all, they didn't have a plan. But the second thing is, they don't really have any hobbies that they can return to. And I went, well, didn't you ever do anything like that? So they come to me for advice, and I'll say, it ain't too late, man. Go take an art class, or join a pool club. I don't play pool. Well, then you'll learn. You know, you'll learn. How exciting will that be? Go learn something brand new, shake up your cage a little bit, and get out there and live your damn life with gusto. So, you know, and I say it to them, because I'll go, oh, my gosh. You were born with a healthy body. You didn't have to go through any surgeries in your life. You had an amazing career that was handed down to you sometimes with your parents. Like, come on, go out and learn something new and shake it up so that you're more interesting to you. And then you're going to be more interesting to others. So that is how I've handled my downtimes when I'm not feeling well. I'll go, okay, let's just go in and paint a tray. Or let's go paint a pair of canvas shoes. Because I'll get there and I'll get into that, you know, you get into that different zone. You know it. You go into that other zone where you are taken away and you're on that magic carpet ride and nothing else is important except for, I got to get that paintbrush to just do this little curve, or all that patio doesn't line up with the rest of the house that I'm painting when I do my house portraits. What do you use?
I'm like you. I love to learn. Reading is like the gateway to imagination, creativity, and you know what? I don't want to think that I know it all, because first of all, we can never know it all anyway. So no. Learning new things is awesome. You learn things about yourself. You learn hey, I'm really good at this, maybe I'm not so good at this, but I'm having fun. You really start to get out of your box and find out and discover for yourself what are the things that you actually love to do. A lot of times we don't even know we love something because we've never attempted to do it. So yeah, I love music. I love music because music really takes you out of any space and just can transport you. Dancing. I always tell people, sing out loud and dance like crazy. I don't care what mood you're in, that'll automatically change your physiology. Just belt it out. Who cares who's looking? Your voice isn't, a singer's voice. It doesn't matter. Sing anyway. Dance anyway. And all these things we can do to really change your physiology, there's so many things that we can do.
In my book, I have a chapter called Strut. And I actually wanted to name my book Strut. And one of my friends said, oh, it's a negative word. And I said, well, it just depends on your interpretation. So for strut, I mean walking with confidence, knowing that you are an amazing person, and having thoughts going through your head that make you actually feel that well. Now, here's one of the things that I use, Carly, that is just as simple as you can be. I have a pair of red boots, and you can see I wear red. I wear a lot of red. I have probably 7 pairs of red boots and shoes, and I have this 1 pair of cowboy boots that are red. And when I put those on, I just walk differently. And the other thing is, there's other things in strut, color. I live in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I'm looking out the window now over this amazing city. It's absolutely gorgeous here. And even though it is overcast and rainy, we live in this gorgeous place. But I go, okay, I need color. So I look around at this house, and my mom has splashes of red everywhere. It's like, this is their home, not mine. But I'm going, okay, Mom, look at that. She says, I need a little more color over there. And I said, why, Mom? Just makes me feel good. I said, that's right. It makes you feel good because your eyes take it in. And then there's the other things besides the hobbies is there's, being around people, surrounding yourself with positivity, and that means people as well. And surrounding yourself with positivity with environment. For example, you wouldn't want to sit in a gray room all day long. Wouldn't you rather have, even if it's just a little window, so you can have a little window to look out to see some green or go for a walk in nature. There's so many things we can do just to give us that little perk to make us feel a little better and to make us feel, you know what the word is I like to use? Alive.
Exactly. Feeling alive, there is nothing like it. And it's an electrical feeling. Well, you and I could actually talk forever. I would love for you also to tell people where they can find you, because this is not just it's a podcast. People are listening. They're not viewing the video, even though it's in 2 formats. So can you please share with everybody where they can find you?
Well, you can go onto my website, which is called pattyemery.com. So it's pattyemry.com. And in that website, it will talk about I call the little dynamo for my speaking. So they'll be talking about speaking. And then there's also, you can click on to a couple of the videos that the local newscast, Mike McArdle did a newscast on me at a speaking gig. And then also, you can go click on to Patty's Artistic Touch, where my art section, where you can see some of my artwork. And if you feel like buying it, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. The other thing I'm really excited about, Carly, coming up is I'm going to start putting hopefully through Google or through Facebook or whatever, little tidbits of my story of advices. For example, the strut. I think there's a lot of people, when I tell them about that, they go, oh, I always wear black boots. And I said, well, go out and buy a pair of crazy colored boots. They go with everything. So those are the things you can do. And also, you can email me at pattyemery.com. pattyemery@gmail.com. And if you want to call me, it's area code 604-813-7436, and we can just chat.
And where can they purchase your book? Is that just through the website, or is it elsewhere?
You can get it through the website. There's a page where you can go on, and you can click on whichever book you want. You can either get it in hardcover, ebook, or you can get it with a soft cover, or you can go to Friesen Press and get it there. And you can also get it on Amazon, Kindle, any of those, if you want to get the e-books. I know that a lot of people use that. It's interesting how a lot of people go, I don't want an e-book. I want to be able to feel the book, and I want to smell the book. And you go, okay. And if you want a signed copy, then you can just phone me at that phone number or email me, and I'll send you one.
Wonderful. What are some last words of wisdom you'd like to leave with the audience?
Well, one thing I did not talk about very much was I'm a twinless twin. And she has visited me 3 times, and I don't know if it's my Catholic upbringing or whatever, but I do believe that there are little angels out there, and I feel she follows me everywhere I go. But she's actually visited me a couple of times. Of course, that could be situations. But my message is, I find that I want to live life with gusto for her, because I was the twin that was supposed to die, and she's the twin that was supposed to live. And so I've gotten over the guilt of that, and I did get to go a chance to visit her, which is a very cute story in the book. But you have to find a reason outside of yourself to live life with gusto. And however, yourself is a pretty darn important part. If you're not taking care of you, you can't take care of other business and your family.
Exactly. I want to thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute delight, and I know you and I will have plenty of more conversations to come. I wish all the audience a wonderful day. Thank you so much for being with your host, Carly Lissa Thorne, and you can find me at my website, CarlyLissaThorne.com, which is CarlyLissaThorne.com. I encourage everybody to link locally, connect with local businesses and people, and connect globally. Realize we have a huge universe, and we can meet people on these wonderful, vast social media platforms and meet incredible people, like how I met Patty. You know, Twitter and Google and Facebook, really get out there and connect with people locally and connect globally. Meet some fabulous people that are not in your area, that may be in a completely different country. Learn, because you learn from everybody. We are such a source for learning from one another. So I wish everyone a beautiful day. Thank you so much, Patty, for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on. Take care.